Commonwealth Transportation Board, 8/15/2002.
Good morning. I apologize for our starting a bit late this morning. I think everyone who is going to be here is here. I understand the dinner was very nice last night. I appreciate our commissioner covering for me in my absence. We will proceed along the agenda as laid out. I think everyone knows that the red notebooks under each item should match up with the agenda. The first item is public comment. To my knowledge, no one has requested an opportunity to be heard. I might say to members of the board that we do have some procedures for public comment. I think they were adopted back in the 80s, and I'm looking at those now and possibly suggesting some changes in that procedure. Next item is the approval of the minutes from last month of July 18, the meeting. I believe everyone has had an opportunity to review those minutes. If there is no discussion on them, I would appreciate a motion for
so
their
moved.
Adoption.
Second.
Been moved and adopted, moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the minutes of July 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, we have no committee reports. As you know, that also is under review. I hope to have something in the next month or so about it. In the meantime, I think it does, it gives all of us, one of the good sides to that is it gives all of us an opportunity to be better acquainted with some of the discussions that would normally take place in a committee that would typically bring forth recommendations to the board. But in the meantime, we will have the report from Jim Givens, who's the division administrator in secondary roads, on two action items. Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, I didn't get to see you last month. I'm Jim Givens, a secondary roads engineer, and look forward to working with you. The item number four on your agenda is the report of additions and abandonments and discontinuances in the secondary system of state highways. For the month, and this is during the month of July, we took in 37.15 miles of additional road in the secondary system. I think that is a record, at least as far as the recollection of our staff is concerned. Are there any questions about that?
Move for approval.
Maybe just a very basic question. What is the criteria for being accepted in the state system?
We have a set of subdivision street standards that are adopted through the Administrative Process Act, and incidentally, we are beginning a process of revising those standards. But most of these streets must meet those standards, and in simple terms, most of these are subdivision streets taken in from the counties, 93 counties and one city in the Commonwealth that have a secondary system.
Yeah, I noticed the majority, at least this month, there's a from Northern Virginia, and that just reflects the suburban growth.
Yes, there's one other interesting fact. I think about 6 miles of these roads were from Bedford County, which is a fairly rural county. And I understand, I looked into that, I understand that they haven't had anyone in the position that processes those for some time. They finally fill that position, and there's been a backlog there.
Quick
item.
Just quick.
Yes, sir.
But we take in about 200 miles a year.
Yes, sir.
And we're falling with that 37 miles, though, are we still falling within that parameters?
I wouldn't think this. I don't see any reason to change that number at this point, that 200-mile number.
Okay.
We'll look at it in probably in another 6 to 12 months to see what it's doing, but I think that is a good rule of thumb.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion that needs a second on accepting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We accept the report on the additions and abandonments of roads in the secondary system. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next item is the access program projects. We have two projects today, an industrial access project in Washington County. And I might mention that your packages that came out for the board meeting also had a project for Henry County. We ran into some issues with that project and withdrew it. It'll probably be presented next month at the board meeting. The industrial access project in Washington County is a bonded project, and it is going to serve a 302-acre tract of land in Washington County, and it's a joint Washington-Smith County regional facilities project. It's going to serve an 87,000-square-foot shell building that is being built in the industrial park. It will be about a quarter of a mile long, and we're recommending an allocation of $361,680 with a matching allocation from the county of $61,680. This is a bonded project. They do not have an industry for the park yet, but we will let them bond the value of this project for 5 years while they try to attract industry.
Any questions?
Chairman, do these access projects require local funds, matching funds?
In this particular case, $61,000 will be matched by the county. If the project costs less than $300,000, it will be fully funded by the state.
Is that the reason the Henry County project was there wasn't any matching?
No, sir. It was a development issue in that park that we had not been able to resolve.
And there is a set amount of money in the Appropriations Act for industrial access roads, and this comes from that. Jerry?
Could you explain for just a moment what the bonded concept is?
Yes, sir. In the industrial access program, we have two different types of allocations. We allocate to a locality when they have identified an industry, and we do not require them to bond the value of our allocation because they have already identified the industry, and since this is an incentive program, they have already accomplished what the incentive is designed to do. But in an instance where they're developing a park and they do not have a specific industry, and they have, let's say they want to put a shell building there to try to attract industry, we will fund this project for a period of 5 years from the date of your allocation. If they attract industry, that will invest the requisite amount of capital, then we will excuse that bond. Otherwise, they have to return that money to us if they do not attract the industry in 5 years.
Thank you.
Okay, next one. We'll take these in a block, if we may.
All right, so that is the industrial access project. The next project that you have on your agenda is a recreational access project for Carroll County in the town of Hillsville. It will serve the Carter Pines Community Park, which is a 25-acre parcel that will have an amphitheater, public pavilions, walking trails, restrooms, a nature center. It's a very short project, 0.14 miles long, and the estimated cost is $50,000. We're recommending that allocation as well.
Any questions? All right. Let me have a motion, if I may, on these two projects of an access program.
So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor on action item?
Second.
Yeah, and seconded. All in favor of the motion on item five, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Jim. Next, Ms. Kassenhofer from the Traffic Engineering Division. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I am Ilona Kestenhofer, Division Administrator for the Traffic Engineering Division. I have a bridge naming item to present to you today, and I would like to say a few words about bridge naming before presenting the specific item. 33.1-250 of the Code of Virginia gives the authority to the Commonwealth Transportation Board to name a bridge in honor or memory of a deceased person. And it can only be a deceased person. And the reason I am emphasizing on that, because if you have a question, somebody has a question about a request like that from you. We did have that before, that somebody asked bridge naming for a person who was alive, and the answer was that the code does not allow that, and sometimes it can be an uncomfortable discussion that does the person have to die first before we can name a bridge, but actually that's how the code reads. And the way the process works, that those who want to name the bridge after a deceased person, they have to have a resolution done by the local governing body, and that local governing body also does have to pay for the sign. I also would like to add that, of course, the General Assembly can also name bridges and highways, and they very often do, just about every General Assembly session. And in that case, the local governing body resolution is not required, nor paying for the signs. And I just wanted to give you this information, so if you receive a request like that, you would be familiar with what to do. And actually, I thought maybe an informational item would be helpful about that too, so you can have it with your files. The request that we have in front of you today is in the Lynchburg District. The Pennsylvania County Board of Supervisors and the City of Danville have each adopted a resolution requesting that the Commonwealth Transportation Board name a bridge on the proposed Route 58 bypassing the city of Danville over the future business Route 58 that is west of Danville in Pennsylvania County. The request is to name this future bridge in honor and tribute to a Pennsylvania County police officer who was killed in the line of duty. Deputy Frankie Lynn Betterton was killed near the proposed bridge, and they are asking to name this bridge in honor of him. Pennsylvania County did agree to pay the cost of the signs. So I respectfully request approval from the board. Or if you have any questions.
Mr. Chairman, I would like the privilege of moving this. Several leaders in Pennsylvania County and Danville have spoken to me about Deputy Betterton, and they have unanimous support for this, and I am pleased to make the motion.
Second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Right. All in favor of adopting the proposed resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Right. Thank you very much. Next, Arthur Taylor, Program Manager of the Right-of-Way and Utilities Division on surplus property.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. We have four items on the agenda for consideration today. They're considered routine conveyances to adjoining landowners, and we would recommend their approval. Any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
So moved.
Second.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, Jerry.
When it says conveying the land for consideration, satisfactory, et cetera, I understand that's boilerplate, but, I mean, does money change hand, and is that confidential, or how does that work?
No, sir. In most cases, we have a value established for the property, and we have the agreement in place in most of them when we come to y'all, and in other cases, we use conveyances of this nature for settlement of negotiations for right-of-way that we need for a given project. So it's kind of a potpourri, but in the vast majority of them, there is a consideration changing hands. Yes, sir.
And is that confidential?
No, sir.
Is it a secret?
No, sir.
We just, is there any problem with putting it in there?
We can put it in there. I mean, if that's what you want. We don't put it in the resolution routinely, but if that's something that the board would desire, I'm sure that...
If it's routine, it's routine. I'm just inordinately curious. Small amounts.
That information can certainly be provided, and it is a matter of public record.
Yeah. It is once we're basically finished with the conveyance, but, you know, up front, we're just still dealing with it right now. But anything y'all need, we can do it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, maybe as a consideration is that if this is brought up in a subcommittee committee level, that can be discussed in a committee level, so at least that knowledge comes out at that time, right, if you don't want to put it in here.
For example, just to give you a quick example of these, one is for $1,000, one is for $500, one is still to be determined, and the other one is for $6,100 round figures. So in these cases, they're small amounts.
Thank you.
James, Mr. Chairman, do we have a system to prioritize these requests that citizens might have in terms of their wishes on conveyances such as this one? Do we have a lot of requests out there?
We have quite a few in the pipeline, and the vast majority of the property that we have available is assemblage-type property where it's only available to the adjoining landowner because it can't stand by itself. And the vast majority of our requests come in are based on a request of an adjoining landowner. We have some other properties that are capable of independent development that come forward, but most of these, in terms of a priority, are kind of requested, and that's how we react to them because there are just so many of them. Unless I missed your priority question, they're as processed, as completed, and then when needed, we come to y'all and get the necessary approval to authorize the commissioner to execute the deed.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, do we have a backlog of these requests? And getting to the point, I have several contacts for people that think that this should be done in their area, and to the extent that it's been in the pipeline for some time, they're not getting any response. And it may be that you can't.
We have some situations where if there's a specific one that needs a response, we need to know about that. Let me say that up front. The other thing is that I try to, when I deal with this myself and dealing with people when they call in, I try to emphasize to people that it's not necessarily an overnight process, because the one thing that we try to do before we come to y'all on these things is to make sure that we know that we own the property and that we know that we can dispose of it. And it takes longer than people think it ought to be done, but the one thing we don't want to do is put y'all in a position of having something come back later on. So a backlog, we have a lot in the pipeline. They're moving forward. Our number of deeds being conveyed every year is up this year. It fluctuates, again, based on requests and the type of requests. Some of them we just flat can't dispose of because they're needed for another project, or we know of something down the road that's not necessarily public knowledge that we have to say that we're just not going to be in a position to consider it right now.
Any other questions? Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor of adopting the resolution on surplus property, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Thank y'all.
Charlie Rasnick, the Urban Division Administrator. Charlie?
The Temporary Director of Programming for the Department, sir. Good morning. Before I make the presentation, I'd like to mention one thing to you behind your tab 8. Last month, several of the members asked about the process that we go through for determining the street payments for cities and towns. That information is in your packet. I won't go into it this morning except to give you, let you know that is in here. It's a briefing of how the process works. Next month, we will be bringing to you a recommendation for the payments for the next fiscal year. This morning, though, I'd like to present to you the request for the additions of streets in the town of Leesburg, the city of Manassas, and the town of Woodstock. These are changes in the or additions to their street system. Most of them are due to subdivision growth, and they will be effective the 1st of July, which means that they'll start getting payments once you approve the street payments next month. Recommend that you approve these changes.
So moved.
We have a been moved.
Have second.
A, been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution in block on these street mileage payments. Any discussion?
It would be helpful as we do this with secondary roads that at least a backup sheet for these things would identify the primary or these urban streets as we do with secondaries for additions. So if we can do that maybe next time around, that would be.
We can do that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor of the proposed resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Charlie. Next, Phil Baker, Environmental Division, Program Planner. Mr. Baker.
Good morning. The roads that you have before you in Westmoreland County have been reviewed by VDOT and the Department of Conservation and Recreation. All procedures were followed in accordance with 33.1-62 of the code. A resolution of support was given by Westmoreland County, so therefore I'm asking the board to include these routes into the Virginia byway system.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt the proposed resolution which would bring into the Virginia byway program these routes in Westmoreland County. Any discussion? Any questions?
I just have a question, Mr. Chairman. What is the significance in a sentence or two of bringing a road into the byway?
Well, what it does, it as far as promotional purposes, when these roads are designated, we put them on the official state map and also on the scenic roads map, and is for the purpose of bringing in tourism to see what Virginia has to offer in the each of these geographical areas.
Phil, does it is there a provision in the law that also deals with advertisements on byways?
Yeah, the I guess what you're speaking of is outdoor advertisement signs. On routes that are federal aid primary, and this was proposed back in 1991. This is through the Federal Highway Administration. And what it says is that any road is a federal aid primary. It's generally those roads 600 and below. Not all of them, but generally those roads. And what it says is that no off-premise signs can be erected once a road is designated a byway, a federal aid primary.
Yeah, so
but the designation doesn't affect the design standards of the roads nor entrance.
No, it doesn't. If you look at your next to the last whereas, it doesn't prevent the board from improving, building, any road in Virginia. So it doesn't carry any restrictions in that regard.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor of the proposed resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Frank G., Chief of Operations, on bids received.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, members of the board, as I mentioned yesterday at the workshop, we have 25 contracts valued at $15.8 million for your consideration this morning, and I'll go through them page by page. Page one is the interstate, page one and two are the interstate systems. We are recommending award of all those on page one. And on page two, we're recommending award of the first one, but rejection of the second contract. We feel like those, we get better prices if that price is over what our estimate was, and we intend to re-advertise that contract. Page three is a primary system. We're recommending award of both of those contracts. Page four is the secondary system. We are recommending award of those three contracts. And page five is the urban system. We're recommending award of that contract. page 6 are the miscellaneous, 6 and 7 are the miscellaneous contracts. On page 6, we're recommending award of those four contracts, but I would point out item 3, which is in Hampton Roads. On that particular contract, this was the second time we had bid that. The first time we rejected the bids and re-advertised because the price was too high. We actually have a $186,000 savings over what the low bid was last time when we rejected it versus what the low bid is this time. And this bid is within our price estimate. So, page 7 is we're recommending award of the first contract and rejection of the second contract. The prices for that one was beyond what we felt like our estimate was, and we feel like we can get better prices by re-advertising that particular contract. Page 8 is a contract that the City of Roanoke took in bids on June the 5th for a pedestrian and bicycle trail with historical interpretation. We're recommending award of that contract. Page 9 is a contract that Fairfax County Public Works Department and Environmental Services Division took in bids on July the 2nd. We're recommending award of that contract. Page 8 is a contract that the Appalachia Tourism, excuse my pronunciation, Authority of Big Stone Gap took in bids on July the 17th, and we're recommending award of that contract. Page 11 is a contract that the Town of Occoquan took in bids on July the 18th. We're recommending award of that contract. Page 12 is a contract that the City of Rappahannock took in bids on July the 26th, and we're recommending award of that contract. Page 13 is a contract that the County of Chesterfield took in bids on July the 29th. We're recommending award of that contract. Page 14 is another contract that the County of Chesterfield took in bids on July the 18th. We're recommending award of that contract. Page 15 is also a contract that the County of Chesterfield took in bids on July the 31st. We're recommending award of that contract. And page 16 is a contract that our administrative services took bids on July the 15th. We're recommending award of that contract. That is actually a patching contract to patch deteriorated spots and is coming being funded by coal and gas severance tax funds from the county of Wise. And page 17 is a contract that we took in bids on August the 6th for a Woodward Wilson project. This is a project which is allowing us to go in and drive some test piles so that our designers and engineers can better estimate and determine what the exact pile lengths and the amount of piling that we needed for the Woodrow Wilson Bridge contract. So we would recommend award of that contract. I would add that all those contracts and bids that were taken in by other entities, they go through the same review process that we do with the contracts we take in bids on. We check to make sure they're within the estimates and all the policies and procedures have been taken. So all that has been checked, even though other entities such as the County of Chesterfield and the various cities are taking the bids, we do the same comprehensive review for those as well. And I'll appreciate your action on.
We have a motion to accept the recommendations.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Right. I have a question.
These recommendations are now properly before us. Yes, Kenny?
Frank, on the pilings on the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, we got an agreement with the City of Alexandria at times, because I noticed that Maryland had to suspend theirs for a couple of months.
Yes, Virginia is in agreement with the City of Alexandria. We are on board. There are still some pending issues dealing with Maryland and some of their work, but Virginia is on board with the City of Alexandria.
Thank you.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. Just a processing question. The actions that we're doing here today in these contracts, how does that interrelate with the dashboard system so it keeps up to date? We make an action on this today, and then it automatically updates in the dashboard system about contracts let and those kind of things?
Yes, you will see this. It'll be somewhat of about a 30 to 45 day lag time from the action you take here today. After you've taken the action, what we do, we notify the contractor that the board has approved the award of the contract. He then has to get all his performance bonds and everything into us and payment bonds. Once all that's taken care of, we execute and sign the contract, and it goes to and is then a signed and contract.
And it gets
at that
system.
Point in time, it'll go into the dashboard and be one of those three. Well, hopefully it'll be green.
Right
at
away.
All times, but it will be green. I shouldn't say hopefully, but it will be green. But yes, it'll be one of those three areas of time, budget, and work orders. That is where you see these contracts will show up in that schedule.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? All right, then moved and seconded, we accept these recommendations from the bids. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Frank. Next, Barbara Reese, on Chief Financial Officer, on the issue to the authorization on the bonds. Barbara?
Good morning. The first one you have before you is agenda item number 11, which is the authorization for the Fran sale, $570 million. As we discussed yesterday briefly, I'll be happy to answer questions regarding that. I know some of you did read the documents last night. I'm proud of you. I know there was a question raised last night about the fact that we do have some Fran proceeds left from the first sale, and how fast will we be spending those, and do we have tax liability issues regarding that. We actually, based on our current work underway and our cash forecast models, will have potentially a one-month lag between when we run out of our current Fran proceeds and when we receive the new ones. There has been cases in the last 2 years since that debt was sold where they weren't being spent and there were penalties that were assessed because there is a requirement. That's not the case anymore. That is being closely managed and monitored. So I do want to answer that question that I know was raised last night.
Is that 1 month give you
No, we're
nervous,
okay.
Or is that
I'm
perfectly adequate?
I'm okay with that.
Jerry?
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of disclosure, although after talking with our counsel, I don't think it would be a problem, but for the record, my spouse is an attorney with McGuire Woods, which is serving as bond counsel on this first issue, and she does get paid more than $10,000 per year of compensation. She's a salaried partner there, and I don't think that will make any difference in my interpretation of what goes on here or participation, but in the interest of full disclosure, I've been advised that that'd be a good idea to make that known.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Ken?
Barbara, what ratings are you assuming with this 3.398%?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat your question?
I'm sorry. What ratings are you assuming from the rating agencies for the 3.398%?
We're assuming the same thing we got on the Franz and
where's Rick Davis? I just saw him walk in.
We
left.
But I'll get it to you. I can't remember. It was double A, I believe.
Double A.
But there's double A plus and double
right.
A, but it was double A, I believe. One step below Virginia's rating.
Now, yesterday I asked about the debt service on the Franz, and I did read the materials last night, and I still need to renew my question. This series of Franz that are being issued today, the debt service on those Franz, is that off the top in terms of allocations to districts in the future?
Well, it's actually coming from three different places.
Yes.
For the $317 million, the General Assembly did appropriate general funds to be deposited into the Priority Transportation Fund. All the debt service is paid for on a cash basis out of federal revenue reimbursement, but what the General Assembly did with the Priority Transportation Fund was basically fill that cash bucket back up by putting general funds there to cover what has to go out from federal cash to pay debt service. So the $317 million debt service comes from that place right now for 03 and 04. Beyond that, in the six-year program, we did not assume additional general funds because the last administration got in trouble for that. I mean, they assumed certain things that shouldn't have been done, and that's why the program had to be reduced so dramatically. for there was additional money in the priority transportation fund that has just been revenue that's been collected over the previous few years since the Virginia Transportation Act was enacted that had not been spent. So the direction was use that to pay debt service first so you didn't have to hit Lynchburg's allocations or whatnot. There is a component piece of it, very small, that does come out of, for this particular bond issue, that does come out of the district allocations. And as I said, once the sale is complete and we know exactly how much debt service and all that is going to be, we'll be able to run you those numbers and provide them to you.
Do you have an approximation now as to what that might be, just in the aggregate?
I don't. For just one specific bond issue. The six-year program assumes many bond issues, but we can do that, and I'll get that information
right.
to you.
Well, yeah, I know the six-year program does, but I was really talking about this issue.
I don't know off, because, I mean, the schedule that I focused on 2 months ago was for all the debt service, and I don't recall one individual one. And I can tell you that the assumption, the debt service payments have come down so dramatically, it could make a change.
Yeah.
So we will get that to you.
That information would be helpful to me if,
okay.
when you do get
we,
to it.
Can run you a hypothetical on that
right.
tomorrow and get it to you.
Right.
I don't believe a motion has been made. Let's take these separately. Do we have a motion to authorize the issuance of these brand bonds?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? We have had the opportunity to look at this material yesterday and last night, but we want to make sure that everybody understands this item on the agenda, so please feel free with your questions. All right, if there are none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. All right, Barbara.
The next resolution you have is agenda item number 12, and that deals with the Route 28 refunding bonds as well as the sale of about approximately $36 million in new money bonds in support of additional projects on the Route 28 corridor. We are in the process of finalizing a comprehensive agreement through the Public-Private Transportation Act on those improvements. And this debt service for these bonds are paid from a special improvement tax within that district.
Mr. Chairman, I so gladly so move this motion. I gladly move this motion.
Second.
After a long time.
I'll second. And moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion before us on the Route 28?
Mr. Chairman, just a statement. I said this yesterday, but I can't say enough good things about everybody working hard on getting this thing through. I was telling Butch earlier, this was almost like when you see that video when good dogs go bad. This thing was getting there, but it really turned out to be a great project, and everybody came to make this come to fruition. And I'd like to thank everybody for making this happen. This is one of these partnerships where 75% comes from the private sector through the revenues of the property owners and 25% of the state. This is really a great leverage of public sector money, and we all looking at ways of doing this again. So thank you again.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Let me let the record also state that Hunter Watson mentioned yesterday, I understand, about his employment with Davenport Company and the perception of conflict there, and he is abstaining. The record
not,
will
not
note.
Not participating in discussion or voting on that.
Very good. Next, George Connor from the Department of Rail and Public Transportation is Assistant Director of Rail. George.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a resolution before you for the distribution of the rail preservation funds to five railroads. This distribution is based on a formula that was developed with the board back in the early 90s. We make adjustments after we go through the distribution based on immediate need, and they have to have a benefit cost greater than one. So we are recommending these projects today for you for approval.
Been moved. Do you have
second.
A second? Been moved and seconded that we approve the proposed resolution from funds from the Rail Preservation Program. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Kevin Page.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Kevin Page on the rail industrial access.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. Today we have one rail access action item for you before you this morning. It's Northeast Cooperative Incorporated. They are a consumable foods redistribution facility of the track that we're asking for participation in rail access funding for. Will be 7,200 feet and at approximate cost about $1.4 million. 1,800 annual car loads are expected over this track per year. There's an employment level of 388 new jobs for the area. Capital investment for Warren County will be $50 million. The amount requested is the maximum allowable amount under the rail access program of $450,000. And Mr. Bevon and DRPT are recommending this project for approval.
Bill?
I move it. No.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Can I make one comment, Mr.
Chairman? Yes, Ken.
Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the highest rating I've seen on a project?
Yes, sir. Mr. Kling, this is probably one of the largest rail access projects we've had in some time. It's a very strong project. It's good for the area. Incidentally, just for the record, this project is being located beside Virginia Port Authority's Virginia Inland Port, and there'll be a substantial amount of container movement between the two. So this is growing business not only for private Virginia, but also supporting the Port Authority as well. Thank you, Mr. Kling.
Any other discussion? All in favor of the motion on the rail industrial access fund motion? Everybody, all in agreement, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. That brings us on the page five of the agenda under other business. There is a resolution, a proposed resolution for our consideration that would appoint as the new secretary of this board Kenny Kling. And it's my understanding that that position has traditionally gone to the person with the most seniority on the board. I don't think there's a lot of heavy lifting involved. You got to sign the minutes.
Better not be. I don't mind signing them, but writing them is another story.
But we need to get a secretary in place. So I would like to entertain any motion for the proposed resolution.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any other nominations? All right. All in favor of the proposed resolution appointing J. Kenneth Kling as secretary of the board, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Congratulations, Kenneth. You're not going to make him take the minutes, huh?
No. Next, next is another housekeeping matter. It's action on a resolution to rescind a previous resolution and appoint and reaffirm the appointment of assistant secretaries to the board, Carol Mathis and Catherine Tracy, respectively.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, the 17th item is action to rescind a resolution from last year and to authorize the signatures for the board's credit union checking account. And the signatories would be Catherine Tracy and, again, Carol Mathis. Carol is, both Catherine and Carol are with VDOT.
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any
Mr.
opposed?
Chairman, the only comment that I heard this morning from a lot of new members is, for Catherine, will she be providing wheelbarrows to carry all of this all this stuff that they got to
an investigating token
haul out of here this morning?
By the way, I heard that all the attorneys on the board are required to have take a test on this next month.
That's right.
Just the attorney?
Just the attorneys.
All right. Thank you. Does Frank G, do you have a new business? Did you have anything?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There is a resolution, and I'd ask Frank if he'd come up. He provided it to me, and it's regarding access onto a limited control change 211 in Rappahannock County.
Okay, Frank?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, members of the board, Ms. Siley is passing out a resolution for your consideration. The Commonwealth Transportation Board sets limited access on certain projects. And in setting those limited access, we actually pay for obtaining those access to the property and limited access for future use. But from time to time, we find it prudent that we need to change or modify or give back those limited access for various reasons. And what we do, we go through an analysis to determine whether or not changing those limited access will affect the capacity of the roadway, affect the safety of the roadway, and also recognizing that if we give them back, then we are looking for a return of what we may have actually paid for those access rights. Normally, I'm bringing you a little bit different type of request than this is. This is a request to help resolve some issues on what was an unfortunate error on the department's part. But in changing limited access, I think it is a prudent thing to do. So I'll go through and explain a little bit of what occurred. In 1996, as you see in the 1966, as you see in the resolution, this board establishes Route 211 in Rappahannock County as a limited access facility. And we purchased those rights. In mid-2000, the current property owner of a piece of property up there approached us to obtain an entrance permit to build a single-family house, a residence, on the property. He was an heir to the original owner and was going to build his house on the property. It was all farmland, and still is all farmland. Our staff issued that permit. The property owner, in good conscience, went to work in doing work to basically build a driveway that was approximately 4,000 feet long, do other work associated with building his house. And when he got to the stage he was ready to start and go through the fence, our staff appropriately so stopped him because no action can be taken to break the limited access until this board takes action. That occurred about 5 to 6 months after he had started this work, so he had done a substantial amount of work in that regard. After that occurred and we revoked the permit, he came in and asked whether or not we would grant a limited access break. I reviewed it, I had staff review it from a capacity and safety standpoint. As you see in the resolution, also the Rappahannock County Board of Supervisors has looked at this particular issue. And I made a proposal back to the property owner that yes, I could recommend to the Commonwealth Transportation Board a break in this limited access because it did not affect capacity or safety. In fact, in all honesty, in looking at it, it is a much safer entrance that would be there than what he currently would be using if he used the entrance we had provided when the project was originally built in the late 60s, early 70s. But I had to set a value on what that break was valued at. And I set a value of $30,000. And that was went through some various logic and reasoning from a right-of-way standpoint, looking at what the property would be valued at, currently appraised versus what it would value at with the change in access. That figure was too high for the property owner, but he also felt like that he had been damaged to the tune of a certain amount of money, and he proceeded to have a bill introduced in the Senate of Virginia. Kevin Miller, Senator Miller, sponsored the bill, asking that the department reimburse him $20,000 for the expenses that he has incurred between when we issued the permit to when we revoked the permit. We took issue with that. The Senate passed the bill and it went to the House. At the House, I asked that the House delay basically granting it because it had not gone through what we call due process. Due process on a bill of that nature is one, we considered it as a claim against us. If we deny it, then it has to be adjudicated, and then only after it's adjudicated would be appropriate for the legislature to take action. So we basically asked them not to take action and hold it in abeyance until that process had occurred. Mr. Miller, who is, and there's no relationship between Senator Miller and this milling, so there's no conflict there, came and said and provided documents to us to clearly show where the amount that he had been damaged. And I went up and personally walked the property with him, looked at the access and everything, and can agree that he had been damaged to the tune of approximately $27,000. Now, that was based upon his receipts and all. He had only asked, from a legislative standpoint, that be reimbursed $20,000 instead of what his cost was $27,000. In meeting with him, though, he said he sure would like to build his house where he had planned on building it. And it is a good location, and it is a safe location. So I feel that it is appropriate at this stage to grant a break in limited access on Route 211 to Mr. Miller, which I would point out in a couple of things on the second page of the resolution that we'll have some qualifications here, because the county, as well as other properties up there, if they're developed commercially or developed for subdivisions, everything, that's not something that the county wishes to have. So we're trying to make it clear that this breaking limited access is for the purpose of Mr. Miller's residence. And as I talk with him, he has four children, and he would like possibility of having his children have a couple of residents there too. So you see in the resolution it's limited to Dr. Miller and three residents. That's his and two others. The traffic volume capacity on this section of the roadway will easily accommodate that, and it's about 230 acres that's in this track. So we feel like that is very appropriate. And we are recognizing in the third paragraph from the last, the whereas, that the compensation, because we have to establish a compensation, if we do not grant the limited access break, then I will be recommending to the commissioner and the attorney general that we reimburse Dr. Miller for the $20,000 that he asked for in the legislature. In talking with the patron of the bill and other delegates that's associated with this, I feel confident that they are going to award a $20,000 value to Dr. Miller on this property. With this change, this basically takes care of that compensation issue. So we're not establishing any precedents here that the property will not be compensated for, and all that I'm saying has been documented, that he has a $27,000 investment that he's liable. He asked for $20,000, and because the bill is that, we don't volunteer to pay more than what they've introduced for the patrons. So I would appreciate your consideration of this request. Normal limited access breaks was usually for commercial development, economic development, and everything. But in this situation, it is resolving several things. It's resolving an error that we made that cost a citizen some dollars. It does not hurt the capacity or safety of the facility. And the restrictions are such that I do not feel like it will hurt the safety capacity of the facility. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I'd like to move approval, and I'd like to thank Frank G for going up and personally addressing it. It had reached the point of severe frustration. Hobie was pointing out to me that the resolution of the Board of Supervisors was in April 2001. This is something that's been going on for a good while, and I think the legislators and the local folks will appreciate the resolution of the issue. So I move it, sir.
Second. We have a
second.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I'd just like to ask, I think originally you said that we were going to, for the access, we were limited access, we were going to charge them $30,000. And so they've submitted a bill for, and you believe is valid, for $20,000. Does that mean we've forgiven the $10,000 as a trade-off, or will there be any charge?
In evaluating the damages that they had incurred, I have substantiated $27,000.
Okay.
He has actually expended somewhere around $40,000, but I substantiated the 27.
So I guess the answer is we're not going to expect any compensation from him.
No, it's going to be documented that the bill, and that's why that paragraph is in the resolution, that it is full settlement of the sought for the relief bill in the legislature.
Thank you.
Gary? Phil?
I appreciate the candor you brought today about how this happened, and I'm curious about the time between the time the permit was given, so he expended all the work, or was told that he could go forward, and then he stopped. And the time we got to today, do you think we did all we could do to try to remedy this situation? He apparently was able to get access to legislators, and to his credit that he used that resource, but an awful lot of people don't know how to do things like that. I'm just curious about whether or not we've learned anything from this experience that we could do it better, or whether we have a process for remedial action when a citizen has been hurt like this.
There are several process issues that were not followed correctly in this. I didn't air all the dirty laundry.
Okay. But you will look at it.
But yes, we are correcting those okay. issues. There were quite a few communication issues as to several things that were not communicated properly. And yes, we do not want a citizen that has been damaged to not have full access to due process and everything. This got out of kilter in which some requests and some things that were submitted were not processed as they should have been in accordance with our policy and procedures. Those have already been discussed with the individuals involved and everything. The permit, when it first came in, should not have been issued, but we had a new person there that did not realize they needed to check something, and the permit was issued in the fall. He worked through the winter because he could get a good rate, but he did not get to the stage that he was close to the right-of-way until the spring in building his roadway. And that's when we discovered it and revoked it, and that's when some of the communication and issues associated with process did not follow as would be viewed as appropriate. We should have done a better job in what we did.
I hope our strong philosophical position is that if we make a mistake, we initiate the reforms and don't wait for people to exhaust their procedures and processes.
And that's one of the reasons I'm coming before you today is to... saying that we made a mistake, we need to stand up and take credit for it and move on.
Chair. And I commend you too for that. I think it's very healthy to make a mistake, try to fix it, and I'm all in favor of doing this. I just have one footnote question.
Yeah.
When it says here that Dr. Miller and his children have agreed to limit development and use to three. Have they just promised that, or is there an easement to that effect, or how does that part work?
That's what this resolution for. This puts it into, he has agreed to it verbally, and it'll be followed up with in writing and everything, so it's covered. But this resolution.
And so three generations from now, if somebody wanted to do more.
This will be tied to the deed. It's tied and recorded in the court action.
So it's like an easement of sorts, I guess. Right. Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the proposed resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is anything else before the board? There is one item not. Yes, Hovey.
Well, I just, before you get to that, you know, I was just counting the days here. We have 82 days before the referendum question comes up. And I know we had a presentation yesterday about it to get everybody up to speed, but I will say it's probably one of the more important decisions that the Commonwealth, the citizens of the Commonwealth, and those particular areas affected, but it also affects other parts of the state too. It, I think, it will help alleviate some of the pressures that we get in both these areas. I passed out a couple things of some things that are supporting that on your table, and I have some for the public out there too. But anything that my goal was to educate people and make, I think once they get the right information, they'll support this referendum because they have all the proper facts. I know it's not an easy question, but it's so important for the infrastructure of this state right now. And it's not just for the two areas that are voting on it, but really all parts of the region or the whole state. So 82 days is not a lot of time, and any support we can get in every area and discussions, I'll be available for those who want some. I know the staff will be available to answer questions, but it really is a very important issue coming up this fall and affects the whole transportation system of the state. So that's all I want to say.
I certainly echo what Hobie has said. Huh?
Forgive me if I've missed something here. I wonder if Commissioner might talk to us a little bit about the financial constraints we have. I don't know jobs that are in progress, in construction jobs that are, some are being halted, is that correct? Because you don't have enough money to complete them? Or do you finish everything that's already started, or?
Mr. Chairman, in redoing the six-year program and in taking out the round numbers, $3 billion worth of work, some projects which had, not construction projects, but projects that were in certain stages of development have been stopped. In some cases, we will be advising consultants to stop work, close out their files, and submit, you know, work where it stands to us. We canceled some public hearings in some cases. In some cases, we are notifying consultants who were previously awarded but had not started new designs that we would be doing that work in-house. As far as construction projects, there was a period of time early in the year when Mr. G had to stop a number of jobs for cash flow. Those are all now back underway. So we're not stopping any construction work. We have stopped and changed the way we're going to prosecute some design work.
Thank you.
Anything else? One item not on the agenda is a resolution commending my friend Leo Bavon as the director of the Department of Rail and Public Transportation. Most of you here on the board, I don't guess, know Leo too well. Hobie and Kenny and something to do over the years, and I've known Leo since he became the first and only director of that department. And he has done an exemplary job raising the profile of transit and rail in Virginia. He has been a strong advocate. He's been paddling upstream a lot of time, not all the time, I hope, in being that advocate. And it's only fitting and appropriate, I think, that we wish Leo the best and go on record for our appreciation for the service that Leo has provided over the last 10 years. And so with your indulgence, I'd like to read this for Leo, and then I'd ask for the adoption of this resolution at the completion of these remarks. Whereas Leo J. Bavon has served the Commonwealth as the director of the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation since the creation of this agency in 1992. And whereas under his direction, the DRPT has supported the expansion of public transportation services, including the establishment of 8 new transit systems and ride-sharing agencies in Virginia, thereby expanding the availability of transit and transportation demand management services to hundreds of thousands of Virginians. And whereas under his direction, the DRPT has advanced the Dulles Carter Rapid Transit Project through a major investment study and the completion of a draft environmental impact statement, and has positioned this project to become one of the nation's top priority public transportation projects, as well as Virginia's first transportation project under the Virginia Public-Private Transportation Act. And whereas through Leo J. Bavon's support and advocacy of the Virginia Railway Express overcame numerous financial and institutional obstacles over the past 10 years and has become one of the nation's premier commuter rail operations. And whereas through his support and advocacy, the Commonwealth has embarked on an intercity high-speed rail program that will serve millions of Virginians and provide much-needed relief in the congested Interstate 95 corridor between Richmond and Washington, D.C. And whereas under his direction, the DRPT has advanced special transportation demand management initiatives in Northern Virginia, including Virginia's first and award-winning telework program and a nationally recognized smart card transit technology program. And whereas under his direction, the DRPT has earned the reputation of a strong, successful, and respected agency
known for advocating the advancement of rail and public transportation programs in Virginia and for responding quickly and effectively to the needs of local governments, rail and public transportation operators, and the citizens of Virginia. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commonwealth Transportation Board does hereby commend Leo J. Bavon for so successfully establishing the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation and expresses its gratitude to him for his 10 years of service as Virginia's principal advocate for rail and public transportation and further expresses its best wishes for him in his future endeavors.
So we have a motion.
So moved, sir.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Leo? If there's no other business before the board, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Very nice to meet you, Jim.